Hi, and welcome to the Ask Sue Show. Hope everybody is all okay, and a big hello to everybody who's in our chat room tonight. Oh, I've been looking on Facebook and all the different internet sites for all the different things that are going on in the world today. And oh my goodness, there's just about anything and every single topic you possibly think of is out there. There is a guy that is apparently on the run, trying to share awareness of apparently what the LAPD have been doing. There has obviously been the stories today of Findus lasagnas, 100% horse meat. We've got so many different issues out there today, and I must admit, I don't know where this show is going to go tonight because, you know, it's like we start with one conversation and we go into the next. Tonight, I want people to call in. What are your thoughts on the fact that they say we are what we eat? Okay, we'll go with that. Maybe that might be the case if we actually knew what we were eating. So I always, you know, I'm always, you know, everybody knows that I do two sides of every story. I really do not know how to sit on the garden fence for the other side of this one. They have horse meat in lasagnas, beef lasagnas. 100% horse meat. So what are they going to tell us? Oh, I'm sorry, it was a computer error. Oh, I'm sorry, it was a fault on the packaging. Oh, I'm sorry, did we go to the wrong slaughterhouse? We thought we were actually at the one that does cows, not horses. Nope, they're actually trying to blame that it might be sabotage. Sabotage? Sabotage? Wouldn't that actually mean that it would actually be partly, you know, cow? At least something? A percentage? Even if it was only 1%? Surely there would be a small percentage that would be beef. But 100%. I'm not being funny. If you had a criminal who had the DNA test and it was 100%, I'm sorry, guilty, why does that change according to this? So does that mean that if they have a DNA test and it says 100%, there's actually still a small percent that it might not be quite right? The other thing that I keep thinking to myself is, how long has this actually been going on for? Has it literally been the last few months? You know, has it been a year? A few years? But then I read somewhere that somebody said, oh yeah, it's been going on at least a year. How do they know it's been going on at least a year? And if it's been going on at least a year, why wasn't this pulled up before? But then now I'm worried because I'm thinking, okay, I'm feeding my kids various foods and no, I'm not a vegetarian, although I'm trying to cut down on meat after what I've been reading. But why should we trust anything that is said on a package anymore? Why should we believe anything? Because let's face it, I don't know about over in America, but in the UK, it has obviously been going on and on and on about the labelling of how much fat's in it, how many calories is in it, what exact ingredients is in, especially when people are lactose intolerant or all these different things. Labelling has been a very big part, and everybody's wanted this. Oh, so you'll put anything on the label, as long as it looks good, but just shove anything inside. Come on, if any of us lot had actually done that, let's just say we'd set up a company for anything else, and we had done packaging and then put something else, we'd be done for fraud, or we'd been took to the cleaners, or we'd have been sued or whatever. What's happening with these? Anything? Has anybody actually heard anybody that's actually going to be sued for this? I'm thinking to myself, I've had burgers, I fed kids my burgers, and I'm thinking, it's had horse meat in it? Who has the right to do such a thing? You know, and why? Is it all down to cost? Is it all down to money? And who is actually to blame? Who do we blame for this? Is it actually the meat people? Do you mean? Or is it, you know, I don't know where the blame is to be pushed. Is the government just being too slack on what's being put in? I want to ask, what's in the chicken pies, chicken and vegetable pies, and other things? I mean, does it work out now that chicken pies are actually going to be pigeon or a partridge or something else? Or not even a bird at all of any sort? It worries me that we used to look at the back of packaging and be able to see what was in it and think, I'm saying even a while ago, we used to look at it and think that we knew what was in it because it said it on the box. How, you're right, how do they get away with it? Daniela Dixon has just put, how do they get away with it? How sneaking it into the slaughterhouses without USDA oversight? Think I answered my own question. Very little USDA oversight. Other countries? I think it's time for slaughterhouses to have, as we say, windows. It's time for us to actually look in. I think people also need to be aware that even when they go to do tests or they do checks on slaughterhouses, they're actually told before, probably 2 weeks before, that this is actually going to happen. Is there a point in actually going to test them or check up on them if you're actually going to warn them beforehand? Maybe we need to get more undercover cameras in to see exactly what's going on. I mean, we've got loads of different charities that are actually doing exactly that. And I've been watching on YouTube today some companies that have literally been putting cameras in, and one in, let me just remember, Cheshire, a abattoir, horse abattoir, slaughterhouse, has actually been closed down, I think, I'm right in saying, because of how they were doing. They were actually getting an iron bar and smacking the back of this horse. Oh, they're going to take the gun, the shooting license off them for being able to kill them. Hallelujah. And what else are you going to do? I mean, they made that sound like that's okay then. That's actually all right. As long as they are, you know, they've took the thing off, that's fine. Excuse me? No, it isn't okay. It isn't okay to do this cruelty. Then I was looking. You're right, Daniela. I think there ought to be random inspections, no warning, as they do now. You're right. Hi, Kristen. How are you doing? Oh, it's not shooting about police tonight, Kristen. It's about horse meat going into beef burgers and things like that. But please don't go anywhere because it's going to be a good show, especially now you've joined. Welcome to the chat room, everybody. Kristen Hoffman, an absolutely fantastic lady, does a lot of things for the dogs that have been shot by police. Knowledge, like I don't know. So a big hello to Kristen. A big hello to Daniela and to Bill and to, of course, Mike Rat TBGB. Hope you're all okay. Welcome to the show. And please, guest, oh, you look very lonely on your own there with no name. Please, go to Blog Talk Radio and just register, and then you can come and join us funny people in the chat room, okay? It'll be good. I promise that they'll look after you. They're pretty good in the chat room. So going back, what are people's thoughts, and has this actually made you change the way that you're eating your food? No, before somebody starts to be funny, I don't mean is it with a fork, knife or a spoon. I mean in the sense of are you now turning into a vegetarian, vegan? Or did you do this ages ago? Did you actually see what was going on and just stopped? See, I'm still, I must admit, I like to have my roast dinners and everything else. And you know when you're, like, just on the line and not quite tipped over the edge yet? And trust me, I've seen all of the videos. I've seen, okay? I understand it's totally wrong what they're doing to the animals. But I'm still, you know, still at my chicken dinners and stuff. I must admit, I saw a video of McDonald's and I can't go there again. It's definitely a no-no for me. I mean, and I used to love KFCs. Good grief, I do sound like a takeaway freak, don't I? But I used to love KFCs. But I just can't. And the other day, I actually went in the kitchen and I was doing, doing a chicken curry, okay? And I was taking the meat off the bones for putting into this chicken curry. And one of the leg bones in one of these things was broken. The picture that came into my head was of this video of this chicken with this broken leg that was limping around and everything. And I just got this vision in my head. And I can't do it. I just thought, no, I can't do this. This is just not right. So I'm cutting down. I mean, obviously, we're changing what we're eating. And plus, we're trying to find more vegetarian recipes as well. Because to go from being to have meat with everything, then we're looking at vegetarian. It's trying to find something that kids will enjoy as well. So it's a learning process. But then let's just go a little bit further with this. Okay, I'll go to be a vegetarian. A vegetarian. Where they're spraying our crops and everything else, and we don't even know what's on that. But let's just go then a little step further. I wonder, I'll read that in a minute, Danielle. I wonder how much we wouldn't eat if we knew everything. So we've got vegetables, unless they're organic, then they're going to have spray on them and different things, you know, like on the cabbages for the caterpillars and all this sort of stuff. The fruit is sprayed because of obviously flies and insects going on strawberries and blah, 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 all them sort of things. So there's that too. Then what else have we got? You know, we've got the meat. Well, we don't even know what meat is actually going into what box, on what part, or anything else. And let's face it, I don't think they do either. So I just think about all of the different things that I've been eating, and I just think to myself, do we actually know where it's actually from? Now, I've got to say, my brother actually works in a slaughterhouse. And I can hear the, does he? He does. But the thing with him is, he's very adamant that they are killed properly and it's done humanely as possible. Obviously, it's not going to be totally humane. You're taking him into a place where they are going to be able to smell the death and everything else, but he tries to do his best as a person to make sure. But this is not racist or anything. There is foreign people in there that do not look after the way that he does. And, you know, there has been things that have been told to me, various different things. And all I can say to you is we need cameras. He actually hates it there, but it is a job, and he's looking for other things. But he also says that if he's not there, goodness knows what else would happen. So it's just crazy. I want to just read these before they go off the chat. Let me just press F5 to our Cindy. Danielle has put, unfortunately, because I have Crohn's, I must have animal protein to live, tried vegetarian, and wound up in the hospital. Okay, interesting with that. And Kristen's put, eating meat isn't even about eating meat, but about the means by which we eat mean. The inhumanity of how the animals are slaughtered is unspeakable. I was raised vegetarian, and it really isn't bad. Do you know what, Kristen? You're probably right. Let me just read. I saw pictures of cows being hung. It was so devastating, so disgusting that people do that. Mean meat. Right. You're absolutely right. And I did watch. I don't know if anybody else has actually seen this. I will get the link for this. Has anybody seen the film Earthlings? Let me just give you a first warning to this. Do not, let me repeat, do not go and watch it just before you're going to bed. like somebody I know did. Yep, that's right, me. I went and did it just before bedtime, and talk about keep your head open. Good grief. Honestly, it was just crazy. So I literally watched it from start to finish, and it's a very, very powerful film. And it's just, how can I put it? Truthful, meaningful, but total awareness and everything else go with it. And the one thing that got me was when the cow was killed and I saw his eye go from the back, like at the back of him, to literally, not to the back of it, how can I put it? He sort of, you could see the pain in his eye, you could feel the fear, you could see everything, and it's just so wrong. Just so wrong. I mean, and there was ones, I mean, them ones, and heebie-jeebies just saying that she's seen it, she thought, I saw that with the cows. That one where they were literally stood in that machine and it tipped them upside down, I mean, it's just so, so wrong. But then, after watching that film, how did they get confused with the meat that came from a cow into a horse? How did that happen? How can they actually get confused? How can there be a mix-up with what goes into that box, really? Do you mean? I mean, I'm not sure if there's horse slaughterhouses are mixed in with cow slaughterhouses. I don't know if that's legal or not over here. I don't know the situation. But I just think, and then, of course, there's that, I can't remember what it was, that they said could be in horses, something of a drug or something that's in horses. And then they're not certain if this is actually going to be something that could be making us ill too. So, and then they said, oh, it's okay, because it won't affect humans. Oh, well, that's all right, then. Shove whatever you like in our food, it's okay. I mean, why not? Just put what you like in it, it's okay. As long as it doesn't hurt us and we don't notice and we're just so blind and we don't even think about it, we just eat it. I mean, what does it matter? Are you kidding? Somebody has got to do something, and come on, it's us society again, because our government is not going to do anything because they're making money out of all this. They're not in for changes. Come on, there's so many things that the government could change and they don't want to change anything. So what do us as people want to actually do to make these changes? Because I know that I don't want to be eating things and thinking, oh, actually, I don't know what's in this. I mean, it still gets me that they can just, like, slightly confuse the fact that it's a horse with a cow. It doesn't even bear to think about. Danielle has put, I saw the one with the cows too, and it really hurt deep inside. Do you know what? This is the thing, Danielle, and I will say this to everybody. You think it's bad watching. Good grief, what must they actually be going through? I mean, changing the subject for a minute. I've seen the ones where the dogs are being stripped alive of their fur. And I've said this story so many times. And I just think about the fact that they chucked that body of that poor dog into a skip. And I will take it to my grave when I saw that dog looking up at the camera with no fur and it was blinking. You know, please. You know, and do you know what, Kristen, you're absolutely right. It's all about money and trade until advocating becomes a multi-million-dollar industry we can't win, but shouldn't give up. But do you know what, though, Kristen? The other side of that is there's 5% of government and 95% of people. Animal advocates can do so much, and they can fetch so many people together that I don't like to say anymore that we can't achieve it. Because I actually believe that we can if we did enough, if we actually all got as a team. The trouble is we just haven't got this team part quite right yet. And I think there is time of change coming. And I think this, with this meat thing and everything, is actually going to help that. Because people are not going to have food put on them and we don't even know what it is. And Kristen just saying about the puppies that are being used as shark bait. I mean, Again, people know about it. Nobody's doing anything. It's just crazy. If anybody wants to give us a call in, 347-327-9694. That's 347-327-9694. And just to let you know, I've also got, in about half an hour or so, or 20 minutes, half an hour, I've got a little surprise for you. Just for those that haven't had a little surprise yet, there's something I want you to all have a little listen to. And loads of little different things are coming up. Just so you know that we will be having, obviously, the shows next week. Oh, we've got the Saturday show tomorrow. That's with Kathy talking about the government. Yep. Loads to speak about tomorrow. She's already collecting the links together. So you know we'll be on top form tomorrow for the government show. And also to let you know that next week, a Thursday and a Friday for me, but Thursday for you over in America, we are having a the police killing innocent people for 2 hours. And then we're having the positive changes to moving forward about the police shooting dogs, and that'll be for 2 hours. For me, that'll be a long one because it'll be from 10 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning. So come on, please bring along the hot chocolates and you know, and the old munchies and everything for tomorrow night, for next week's show, and that should be a good one. And the links are already up and about, so please share them for me so we can get the show out there. So, yeah, give us a call in, 347-327-9694. If you've got anything that you would like to come and talk to us about the fact of what is in our food. Because they do say we are what we eat. Well, at this moment in time, we don't even know what we're eating. I think of all the other things, I'm thinking about when you go shopping, and you go down the alley, down the aisle, and you're looking at all these different foods. And I'm just trying to think where I am in the thing. Okay, so we've got, like, fish fingers. What's in those fish fingers? Is it actually fish fingers? Then we go down a little bit further, and we've got, like, you know, chicken. We've got, like, you know, southern fried chicken and all that. What's in all of them? Do you know what I mean? There is so much, some of what we know as the pups being used as shark bait, but so much more we don't, unfortunately. Some societies are so secretive as to what they eat. Yes, you're right. Absolutely right, Daniela. You know, there's so many different aspects of this that it's just mind-blowing. You know, like, I can never quite get into my head that in Korea they eat dogs. I mean, what... it doesn't even go there, does it, you know? And cats and stuff. And how they do it? On the street. Literally, just literally, in the wide open. I mean, I'll say about abattoirs. I mean, they are beautifully clean inside. Not all, but the odd couple I've actually been in, yes, they are clean. But to do it on the street? And the one part where I saw was where young kids... But going from school, we're going past a part where dolphins were actually being killed, and they were watching it. And this dolphin was actually being killed, and it was, you know, obviously it was suffering. And these kids are walking past. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, thank goodness my kids aren't there to see that. It's just horrific. Daniela, I was stationed in Korea years ago, and dog is a delicacy, as it is amongst so much of Asia. Christine, you're absolutely right. It is a sad show. And obviously, I want to do, it will be an hour where we talk about this. And then we're going to move on to other things. So if anybody else has got anything else that they want to speak about, by all means, give us a call in. Christine, if you want to come and join me on the show tonight, come and give us a ring in, and maybe me and you can have a natter about other things as well. So give us a call in, 347-327-9694. Daniela, yep, call in. You're absolutely right. It is very sad, but so very important for us to know. Now, I'm going to... I have got a couple of links that I want to share with you tonight. Oh, except everything just gone mad on my laptop, and now I can't find it. Well, here we go. This was a forum, a thread that I found, literally about horses and all sorts. And so there's one for you to have a look at. The thing is, and this is what gets me, is the fact that, you know, some people have got a total different regard to horses than others. On this one thread that I'm actually sent the link to, it's actually about the fact, instead of taking your horse to the vet to be put down, why not take it to a slaughterhouse because it's cheaper? Yeah. I mean, for goodness sake, what exactly are we doing here? You know, and then that meat is actually used for other stuff as well. Do you know what I mean? So what's in on earth? It's just all gone mad. All gone mad. Sorry, I've just got children come into the room and they're going to be sent straight back out again. So on there, it's literally going all about horses, how they've been put down. They were talking about the slaughterhouses for horses and all sorts. So, you know, it's just absolutely horrific, some of it. And some of the footage that I'd actually found on YouTube, I don't know if I've kept this actually open now. Let me just see. It's all gone a little bit mad here. Hold a minute. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Sorry, everything's just gone really slow on my computer. Let me put this into... Oh, my goodness me. It has gone slow. Right. Sorry, I'm just getting told different information as well now by my 13-year-old son, bless him. There's also, it's saying here about, this here is quite horrific, so those that have got a gentle stomach, just be careful. It's a horse abattoir, it films, reveals welfare breaches, and it's absolutely horrific. This is the one where he was actually hitting her with a bar. And I would just like to give a big shout out to the animal welfare group, Hillside Animal Sanctuary. There's some of these places I do want to go and see these people because they're amazing. And they'd actually, investigators at Hillside have fitted secret cameras which filmed horses being beaten with an iron rod to encourage them to move into pens. And this was at Red Lion Abattoir near Nantwich in Cheshire, which actually isn't that far away from me. But how many horse slaughterhouses are there in the US? Because obviously I'm talking about in the UK at this moment. But, you know, how many, is it a big thing over in the US as well? Give us a call in and let us know as well, please. Let me just have a quick look back up. There is so much, some of what we want to know. As the pups being used for shark bait, but so much more we don't, unfortunately. Kristen. Right. Kristen has thought, need to get my mum on here. She can answer those questions. She investigates food like no one I know. Daniela, I was stationed in Korea, and the dog is a delicacy. I think I've heard that one already. Right, watch your own baby. Sorry, I'm trying to keep up with all the different things in the chat room. If anybody wants to give us a call in, 347-327-9694, or you can email asksueshow@gmail.com. That's asksueshow@gmail.com. Right, what else have we got that we need? I did have another link here somewhere. Oh, hold on a minute, we've got a caller. Hi, area code 917. Welcome to the show. Hello? Area code 917. Welcome to the show. No, they've gone very quiet, so they obviously either rang by accident or something. Right, where else were we going here? There was another one somewhere. Oh, here we go. This was the Findus beef lasagna that we've obviously got in the UK. Now, I don't know if it's the same with you guys in the US, so you'll have to let me know what sort of what the situation is with you. Hold on a minute. Let me just go back. I've lost where it is now. There we go. And it says, highly likely criminals are responsible for horse meat contamination, FSA says. It is highly likely that criminals are responsible for contaminating British food products with horse meat, the Food Standards Agency has said, as it suggested foods may have been sabotaged. How on earth does meat get sabotaged 100%? You know, what, it just disappears? Somebody just steals it and swaps it? What? Thank goodness, are you for real? The FSA has ordered that all food retailers now carry out urgent tests on all processed beef products after some Findus lasagnas were found to contain 100% horse meat. It said that someone could have deliberately contaminated beef products with horse. It said this morning, this is a very serious issue. The evidence we have about the two cases of the significant amount of horse meat in burgers and lasagna points to either gross negligence or deliberate contamination in the food chain. An MP claimed today that Findus beef lasagna may have been contaminated with horse meat since last summer. Now, let me just say that again. An MP claimed today that Findus beef lasagna may have been contaminated with horse meat since last summer. How does he know? It comes as Mary, the Shadow Environment Secretary, accused the government of trying to pretend this isn't happening. Findus, one of the most popular brands of frozen foods, has withdrawn 180,000 lasagnas from sale after carrying out tests on meals from a French supplier that had raised concerns. Right, so we've got the ready meals have obviously been removed from the supermarket shelves, and Asda has also pulled beef burgers after horse meat contamination. That was the 5th of February, and horse meat scandal. Now Tesco and other supermarkets admit to pork traces in beef burgers. So do you know what I mean? This is obviously not endless, is it? You know what I mean? So we need to obviously be able to find out even more about this. Daniela, I'm very far from being an expert, but for a while horse slaughter was banned, but no more. So I have no idea how it's going now in the US. Okay. Actually, allowing horse slaughter was the better of two evils, and that's Kristen. Daniela, unreal all that time. Why did it take someone that long to come forth? You're absolutely right. I mean, why has it even got anywhere? You know, this should not have been happening. And I'm quite surprised that the government haven't actually come out and done a speech or a talk about this, because it's horrendous, but it just doesn't seem to be bothering them at all. You know, a lot of people are very concerned about what they have been eating, and it's just totally, totally wrong. What do you think that the government should actually do? What do you think, if you were the government for a week, right, what would you put in place to, one, stop this, and two, to give these people who have actually done this, you know, how can we change it? What's your thoughts? You know, you can just call in 347-327-9694. That's 347-327-9694. Give us a call in. Or you can email asksueshow@gmail.com. Kristen's put, that's the job of the FDA here. Well, the thing is, whoever's job it is, they obviously here were not doing it, because for an MP to say that it's been a while. Kristen, it's 347 327 347-347-9694. Give us a call in, Hunt. Do you know what? I just went to type it and it's not even typed it in there. 347-327-9694. So give us a call in. Let me see. So, you know, it's just absolutely thrown people, because I know when I've gone shopping now, you just do not know what to buy. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many people have actually gone vegetarian. I'm sure if we could actually find out vegetarian websites, how much they will have literally increased, because people, I'm sure, will have thought like me, thinking, actually, I don't know if I want to do this no more, you know? So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many people have actually turned to be vegetarian. Right, well, I'll be having about another 15 minutes, and then we've got a little bit of a surprise on the show. So I'm quite looking forward to that, because we've had a bit of a busy week, even though I've had a fault on my phone. So even though I've not been able to go on the phone, I've actually been quite busy doing various other things on the internet. Right, I think this might be Kristen. Hi, Kristen, how are you doing?
Hi, Sue, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So what do you think, have you seen all in the UK about this horse meat being in our beef burgers and lasagnas?
No, but that's happened in the US a few times too, you know, where, I know Jack in the Box, their burgers, they were kangaroo for a while and things like that. It happens. Trying to cut, you know, that's how they're trying to make money.
Exactly.
To go for something cheaper.
Exactly. This is the thing. And what got me was, like, we had Tesco Value Burgers. Like, Tesco is one of our main shopping people. And then we'd got, obviously, a dearer one, which I can't remember who it was. And they actually turned around and said that they're made in the same place. And I thought, you've just actually publicly announced that, you know, something that's dearer is made in the same place as something that's cheaper.
Right.
So it, you know,
or
what
even
mean?
The possibility of cross-contamination. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, I worked in restaurants for a long time, and I mean, if your hands touched one meat, they were not to touch another until they were clean, you know? That's a very big deal.
Exactly.
It's a big
but what gets
issue.
Me is, Kristen, if they'd have said to us, it's 20% or it's 30%, but to be told it's 100%, that can't be an accident.
Well, and you know what? The percentages that are required now, it seems like they just dwindle every year, you know? To say that, you know, it has protein. Well, as long as there's only 2% protein in it, then they can advertise that, you know? And it's just getting, it's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous, and you have to read everything. Everything. You have to read every single ingredient, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, the thing is with me, I just find it so horrific. I mean, and obviously they've even mentioned that they actually think that this has been fed to children at schools as well. And that's even worse. I mean, we go to places, and these are run by the government, or we send them to our schools thinking that they're going to be safe, and they're actually
it's
being
like,
fed things like this.
Who's your regulator? Like, who regulates your food and drugs there?
Do you know what? I'll be truthful. I must admit, I meant to look before the show, and I honestly don't know it, but I think it's on the same, I think it was the same as yours, unless I've obviously, the trouble with me is, even though I'm in the UK, I do most of my stories are actually in the US. So, I'll have a look at that actually while you're on. Of food, let me have a look.
I'm trying to look it up too.
Yeah, Food Standards Agency, so the FSA, Regulation and Legislation, General Food Law, whether you work in a business, food business or interest, a consumer interested in food law. And it's quite funny. There are general requirements.
Right, general.
Yeah, meaning general. I mean, that's just so random, isn't it? Just general.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we've had so much in the UK over this food labelling. Has it been exactly the same in the US?
Do I? Has it been the same
over
in the US?
The food, You know, like in the labeling of food and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people want to know exactly what's in there, how much protein, how much.
I think that's why organic food has become so popular, because people don't trust what they buy anymore. So they want fresh grown food. I mean, the farmers markets over here have just gone, they've gotten out of control. I mean, they're the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we were talking at the school today, and people were saying, no, it's just as cheap to go to the butcher's now and go and get a joint of something or mince or whatever direct from a butcher and know what you're getting than it is if you went and actually got it from the local supermarket.
Yep.
But did you know when it happened in the U.S., did you find that a lot of people did go vegetarian, or at least for a while, stopped and changed and thought about things more?
I probably knew one or two people, but for the most part, people just demanded that the FDA did their job better and people complied with the law, you know?
Yeah.
I've never noticed a big change in, like, overall in people's eating habits. I mean, people crave what they crave. I swear that there's, like, something addictive in, like, McDonald's. Like, they put something in there to make you addicted to it. I am convinced.
Sure.
Because
it's funny you should say that, because the other day I was reading something, and they were saying it's even down, McDonald's even have investigated what colors to use on their plates and everything, and apparently red and yellow stimulate people to eat more.
That must be what it is, because it's terrible. It doesn't matter how gross it is, you still crave it. And actually, that was what broke me from being a vegetarian. When I was like 15, I had my first McDonald's cheeseburger, and that was it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I never had meat my entire life.
Yeah, but the funny part is, I mean, I'm not saying McDonald's I wasn't struck on anyway, but KFC, I used to go there, but it's literally since I saw the videos on the internet and I just thought, I can't do this. Do you know what I mean? And I've not been to McDonald's and not been to KFC or nothing. It doesn't interest me.
Oh, I don't even remember what it was with KFC, but I remember it was something bad.
Yeah.
What was it with
I must admit. Sorry?
What were they doing at KFC that was so bad? I don't remember. It has something to do with...
Well, obviously, it's all chickens. And I watched this film, and it was showing how all these chickens were in crates, and they were piled one on top of the other, and all this. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's when
it just got me.
Cage-free. Yeah.
It's just so wrong. I mean, and it just comes back to the same thing. How do they get away with it all? They're making... And again, you answered in the chat room, money.
Mm-hmm.
People have the option
to buy cage-free eggs when they go to the store, but do they? No. Otherwise, those would be the predominant option, you know?
Mm.
But it's more money. And it's also, you know, when the economy's down, it's a lot harder to get people to switch things like that. I mean, even being a vegetarian is expensive, especially if you want to cover, like, get all your protein and stuff. It's not cheap. I mean, we're talking a lot of grillers and Grimburger.
But, you know, I'm amazed that nowadays there hasn't been a, I'm not going to say a McDonald's, but like a vegetarian, how can you put, fast food, if you like.
Oh, we've been having quite a few open up over here.
Oh, well, I should have guessed America would beat the UK. That wouldn't be hard, would it? We're always behind in the times.
And even, like, some of the chains are doing, like, tests, you know, where they're just putting them in designated areas to see how they do.
Really? I've not seen that here. That's
nice. We need to call the FSA or whoever.
Yeah. That's a bit good. I'm quite amazed by it all, because the thing is, and you do think about it. I mean, I must admit, I've had burgers and all sorts all my life and everything else. Do you know what I mean? I never really looked into it so deep as I am now. But then I'm thinking, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, imagine those that actually went go with friends or whatever, and they go into McDonald's with them, they don't buy anything, and they want to sit separate, or they do just have salad or something, and they're sitting there seeing somebody a table away eating on that massive burger. That's enough to put anybody off their food if they don't enjoy that.
Mhm. Oh, but so, I know a lot of people that will go to McDonald's and order a Big Mac without the meat.
Right. I see. Right. Got you. I'm just having a look.
There's other things too. Like, you know, it causes early development in children. There's just so many other issues that are involved with eating meat and even just anything from an animal because of all of the hormones even that go into them. That gets passed on to us. And, I mean, we are our hormones. We are our hormones.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know my mom, she wouldn't let any of the kids have any hormone milk or anything until after they were 12 years old or something.
But do you know what? Somebody said something to me today which I thought, oh, my goodness, yes, you're right. But do you know what? They said, if the cows have got so much fear inside them at the last moments, surely if we're eating meat, we've got to be taking in part of that fear. And I thought, do you know what? They're probably right, aren't they? There's got to be... there's so many different things, but I'm into my psychic stuff, and I do think about how much we must be picking up from all this negativity all of the time, and I just think, oh, my goodness. I've just got to catch up with the chat again. Danielle, but I remember that horse meat was allowed to be exported but not used in human food in the U.S. Makes you wonder how much of the exports were used with beef, which costs so much more. Even with the food labelling, it doesn't tell you how much authorised garbage, such as percentage of bug pieces, fingers, etc., is allowed. How many people really know that? Supposedly, KFC now uses free range, not much better than a cage. They don't see the outside. I mean, the thing is, let's be realistic. How many chickens and all that must they lose through the fact they are being cruelly treated? Wouldn't it be more cost-effective to actually look after them so that more actually stay alive?
Well, you know, actually, they were being transported, the majority were being transported to Mexico, and actually the animals are treated better, the slaughter animals are treated better in Mexico than they are here in the U.S., which is, you know, really sad. But actually... it's considerably better. And however, the transport, the U.S. transport from here to there was just so, so horrible. Oh, my God. I mean, it was just like making these animals go through just a prolonged torture.
Yeah.
Does that mean slaughter is good and that it's done right or anything? No, but, I mean, I don't know. I watched all the stuff, and it was so bad. It was so bad.
Exactly. Well, Kristen, stay on the line. We're just going to have a little bit of a sing-song now, because I don't know if you've actually seen it or heard it.
No.
But just for people who haven't, Sue decided to do a rap.
A rap?
I don't even ask. All right. You know when you just have their mad moments? I did this poem and then decided to do a rap with it, right? And
okay.
I can honestly say that I never thought that Ask Sue would be doing a rap. Now, I can't exactly call myself a rap artist, and no, I haven't had the phone call off Eminem yet to ask me to join him, and I don't think there's much chance of that actually happening either, but I've actually done it. It's on YouTube as well. You know, just in case any people of rap artists would like to join me, that's fine. It's on YouTube. So I thought we'll just have a couple of minutes or a few minutes to listen to this rap. And it has obviously got a message in it as well. And obviously, just have a little listen. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. If you just hold the line, Kristen, and we'll be back shortly, okay?
Okay.
And try not to laugh too much.
Okay. I'm trying.
Right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If anybody else wants to join in on... I'll try that again. If anybody wants to join in on the Ask Sue Show, give us a call in, 347-327-9694. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Oh no, we have a slight technical problem. It hasn't actually gone on there properly, so it will not play. So maybe we'll have another tune instead. Let's try this one. Hi, and welcome back to a very unorganized Sue tonight, who's not doing very well at all. Please welcome back to the show, Kristen. Hi, Kristen.
Hey.
I tell you what, anything else go wrong?
Don't jam it out over here.
Oh, my goodness, it's just hilarious. Now, what I'm going to try and do, now, I don't know if this is actually going to work. I'm going to try and play this rap. It obviously has not downloaded properly, so we'll try and do this. We'll just have to see how it goes, okay? So let's have a little listen. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this right. I'm going to make sure. Oh, if I put the volume on, that might help. Hold on. Oh, yeah, that's done. Right, hold on. Let's see if we can do it. Here we go. Quiet for some reason, and I don't know why, but I hope all of you enjoyed that. That's my little gift. all good fun, though. All good fun. I've just messaged you with my email address as well, Kristen, okay?
Mailing address, so I can mail you something.
Oh, right. Oh, I sent my email address. That's called not reading the chat properly.
Right, I know, I'm like, activeradio@gmail.com. That's not going to work.
If anybody doesn't realise that we've actually done quite a bit of talking on the phone, you'll know now. right, let's, do you know what, I'm getting a bit, as much as I really want to save the horses and everything, I think we need to go on a, something a little bit more positive. What do you think?
What do you mean?
Well, I think we need to now turn it. Now that I've actually got you on the show, I want you to tell people what you've actually been doing and your positive moves forward with regards to, well, you just tell everybody what you've been doing. And just let me tell you, everybody, that if she doesn't blow her trumpet hard enough about how much she does, I'll help her out near the end, okay?
I don't really know what I've been doing. It's so hard to explain.
Oh, it's easier to say what you haven't been doing. Come on, tell everybody what you've been doing.
Well, the goal is to unite everyone, get everyone working together, rather than having 50 petitions for the same thing and having everyone's signatures spread out, trying to get everyone on one bandwagon, one chip in fund, you know, designating lawyers in each area for consults, for hearing cases. Often when someone seeks out a lawyer, it's their first time trying this sort of case, so it's more expensive because of the research, you know, and there's no way to know if they're going to win, so trying to get experience under their belt. The research, lots of research, trying to get some strong, you know, people on board that are recognized for what they do. The next step will be trying to get endorsed by the ASPCA or some organization like that. The hardest thing has been trying to nail down a name. We have been, like, that is the hardest thing. That is holding up everything.
So Kristen,
lots
is it that you're actually trying to get...
networking, huh?
Sorry, with what you're doing then, are you trying to get a network altogether of people, but not
we're
obviously...
We're trying to create
so
a national
doing...
group to address the situation.
For every situation?
Exactly. So if someone's dog is shot by police and they Google it, they're going to hit our website. They're going to have a point of contact in their area who can tell them exactly what they need to do, exactly who they need to talk to. You know, every time this happens, everyone does the exact same thing. Everyone goes through the exact same steps. It's like, you know, if we had a one knowledge base, one resource and contact people, everyone could skip the first 50 steps and just jump right into where they need to be, you know, because we've all done the first 50 steps and we know what works and what doesn't work.
Yep.
You know, and so much time, energy and money is wasted, you know, just going through the same thing. Every single one, we all do the same thing. And it's just like, oh, no, we're so much further than that. Stop starting at square one. We can start at square 50.
Exactly. And this is the trouble. And this is what I've been saying so many times on the show. We have got everything everywhere. And this is where we have all the troubles with Facebook too, because half the time we're sharing the same picture as everybody else. So why couldn't we just, this is what I've tried to do so many times, but you've just got, everybody's got their own groups and nobody wants to bring their groups into something else. Let me just rephrase that. Not everybody. I can't say everybody. But, you know, it's like with the Ask Sue Radio Show Network, I share other people's pages and groups in there. Do you know what I mean? To make a difference. But other people don't want to do the same. And this is where it's difficult.
Yep. And also, you know, sometimes it seems like it's just the advocate sharing with the advocates, you know, and...
Yeah.
Like, you can tell, like, you can read your own, like, data stuff, and you can tell when you're reaching people and when you're not. And I know, like, sometimes if my numbers are down really low, if I know people just aren't either... If they've blocked, if they're just, like... you know, have me put to the side where they can't see me, or they're just not online. I don't know what it is, but sometimes, I mean, my hits just drop, like plummet, and then sometimes they skyrocket, and that's when I'm like sharing like crazy, you know. But just
exactly.
To give people the benefit of that,
exactly.
Maybe that's why, I don't know.
Well, it's like I've always had a group for the Ask Sue Show, and I've just got the network page, and the thing with that, I love it. Because I can see how many people have actually looked at it, how many people ignored it because they didn't share it. And it's mind-blowing. I mean, there's been some absolutely stories of just horrendous, and some that have been heartwarming, some that have been lovely, you know, we've had a dog saved or whatever, and they're just not being shared. And it's the only thing I can say is it must be because of Facebook.
Maybe.
Because people are having trouble with sharing things,
like,
and obviously,
you know,
having bans and blocks and everything else.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, one of the things that I also think is important is, you know, having people in charge of certain directives, you know. Like Barb, she has taken over making sure, you know, she takes care of all of the hero stories of police officers and firefighters, you know, saving animals. And, you know, and that gives her one focus. You know, it's not, you know, it's really hard when you're multitasking different causes. It's really easy to drop the ball and miss people. You know, like, I try to reach out to every, victim, you know, whose dog has been shot by police, and trying to, like, find their contact information, trying to find them, you know. Sometimes I'm looking through the white pages, you know, I'm Googling, I'm trying to find some way to get in touch with them, you know, to reach out. And sometimes, I mean, I'll spend 12 hours a day just trying to contact three people, you know. So, you know, I think having people also designated for certain directives is helpful, too. We really need outreach programs. We really need outreach programs.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know how computer literate I am. Oh, that's right, I'm not. And this is the trouble. There is some people that can just share. There's other people that can make websites. There's other people can do things. And it's the thing, so many people can help each other. So what one person can't do, another person can do, and vice versa.
Yeah, finding out people's strengths is really important.
Do you know what I mean?
Like I created a form, and I asked people to fill it out and to put, you know, what are their strengths, what are your strengths, what do you have to offer, what do you like to do, and how much time do you want to put into it, you know?
Yeah.
That way everyone can be organized in what they're doing, and rather than just sporadic, you know, things being done.
Yeah.
I can't handle disorganization.
Yeah. How is it actually going with that, Kristen? Are you getting where people are being able to give you enough time to be able to do what you need to do? Or is it hard to
actually
tie them down to something?
I was trying to limit it to the owners in the beginning, but everyone just seemed to be too busy. So now I've been actually letting the supporters join in. And, you know, they've just kind of been fighting at the net, waiting, you know, like, when can we help? When can we help? You know, so finally I'm like, you know what? You can help now. And so I'm getting a lot of help from supporters.
Excellent.
But, you know, there's a lot of things that people just don't know how to do that keeps, you know, so a lot of things do get left for me to handle. But I don't know what you can really do about that, you know. I mean, I don't know a lot of people haven't set up businesses, you know. I've done a whole lot of that, so for me it's not a big deal. It's a lot of paperwork, but, you know, there's just a lot of little things that people don't know about that goes on behind the scenes that has to be taken care of, you know, setting up a, you know, board of directors and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. And making sure everyone that's on that board gets along. Because so far, I'm the only person who knows everyone, because I'm the only person who talks to everyone. And I make sure that I talk to everyone on the phone at least once. And But we're still working on making sure everyone else gets to know each other, too.
Yeah. And this is the thing, Kristen. I mean, I try to explain to people like this with the show. I mean, it's gone absolute crazy. I'm on the phone. I mean, I was on the phone, wasn't I, to you just the other day for... must have been 2 or 3 hours, you know, and it was just putting things together and making sure things were right. And because if it's not right when we put it out there, then that's when it's an inconvenience to loads of other people. So it's a lot of work, and just making sure and it's right when it gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So what have you actually, can you actually shout out your website, or have you not got it quite there, or?
Not yet, because, I'm going to change it.
and if
thing,
you know Kristen, trust me,
thing.
She
you know,
will change it.
We're having a new problem that I did not foresee. You know, I spent a lot of time researching, trying to consider every possible roadblock, and this is one that I didn't expect to happen, and that was, you know, when there's new victims, you know, they're going through a very traumatic experience. They're very emotional and unfortunately often are very negative towards police.
Yeah.
So, you know, having all of us together in one place, you know, we can't have, you know, any, I don't know what to say other than, you know, like, abuse towards the police officers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, the new victims still have to go through whatever they need to go through in the beginning, because the first 4 to 6 months, you know, they're very, you know, or I should say we are very erratic and unpredictable. That's something that I'm trying to address right now before going live. I didn't, you know, and there's a few people, you know, that, you know, I don't want to, I don't want this to actually end up starting a war,
Exactly, exactly. And the thing is, the other side of that is, you don't know how people are going to react, because obviously everybody's different. There could be one that comes into the group that just settles straight in and says, yeah, you know, it's happened to me, but, you know, and then there could be other people that literally can't deal with it.
You know, and it's, and here's the thing, it's not even about the police. It's, you know, often the reason so much anger is directed towards the police is because no matter who is responsible for the death of their dog, they feel responsible. And that guilt that you couldn't protect them, it's so hard to bear. It's so hard to bear. And you, I mean, you can't help but try to put that off on someone else, because it's just, it's crushing, you know? And that's really, really what it comes from, because no matter who's responsible, all of us ultimately hold ourselves responsible, you know? I mean, if your two-year-old, you know, gets hit by a car, who are you going to blame? You're going to blame yourself. You know, it doesn't matter that it was an accident or that, you know, it was that driver's fault because they were drunk. You're going to blame yourself because you didn't keep them safe. So.
And you know, Danielle is just saying as well, she's put, I know I belong to several dozen groups, and I go insane trying to figure out which animal to share where. And then there is one group that I belong to that belong to the same groups I do. And this is the thing, because when you've got, say, three or four admin, and I'll say it for myself now, I will go to one page, and then I'll go to somewhere else, and then I'll go somewhere else, and I share it all to the network. But then I go to the network page, and all of a sudden I notice that when I get there, Joe Bloggs has already put five of those posts already on there.
But you know what you need to, like, what I've noticed is the most helpful in drawing in new, like, new people is going through your feed and going to pages that you're not used to interacting with, like you don't usually see posts on your site or vice versa, and start liking their posts, make a few comments, just show some interest, and, you know, they'll just start coming out, you know, and interacting with you too. And that, you know, but it's, you know, every now and again, it's important to do that to bring in, you know, when you start noticing that we're all just sharing with the same people and we're all getting the same thing six times a day, it's definitely time to start branching out a little bit.
Exactly. And it's the thing, I mean, let's face it. I mean, sometimes you can have a dog that was shared, say, 3 days ago, and then you'll still see somebody else was sharing it, but you noticed 2 days ago that it's been rehomed. But because it's been shared that much, it doesn't get to that person that actually it's already been rehomed. And that's
right,
when we're wasting valuable time.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, we start sharing, and it just becomes such like a habitual thing to just hit share that no one actually stops to actually investigate what's going on. Like the other night, there was a post that came in and it said, it'll only take $25 to save this dog. I'm like, seriously, $25? Seriously. So I emailed the rescue and they emailed me back that night and said, well, I don't know if it's $25, but I know that, I do know that, you know, once this dog has reached $300 in donations, that will be transferred to a no-kill shelter where he can finish his treatments and get adopted out from there. And I was like, sweet, his chicken's already at 315, so he's already going. So he's saved. He's already saved, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think often, we don't stop to follow up and see actually what the status is and what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing.
I think even I can...
It's so easy just to hit share and not actually take it a step further, make phone calls, or write the emails. And
yeah. It's like when I've seen some really... Like, you know, when you've seen people are being cruel to a cat or whatever. And it's, let's face it, it does go viral very, very quickly. But the thing is, then you find out it happened 6 months ago.
Or, you know, someone took a picture of a dog in a window of an abandoned warehouse where there was no water, there was no heat, there was no food. I went back to that person. I'm like, go get the dog. Are you kidding me? You're going to take a picture? Go get the dog. Are you I mean, I just can't even believe it. I was just like...
Me and you talked about this, didn't we? And I actually said to you, I would actually just smash the window and grab the dog, and then I'll just sort the consequences out at a later date.
Do what?
Because let's face it, you can do, if you bury two pups alive nowadays, you only get 25 weeks in prison. So what are they going to do for me smashing a window and saving a dog?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, they'll probably give me life.
Yeah, these days it seems like people are getting more in trouble for saving animals, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mhm.
It's ridiculous.
And that goes with Facebook as well, to be honest. You seem to get more bother on Facebook for sharing animals and everything than if you set up a paedophile website or something else on there. Do you know what I mean?
That's one other thing that I try to consider. Like, regardless of what we think, we have to be aware of the general public's reactions. And, you know, at some point, they need a break. You know what I mean? And I understand that for us, that's hard to understand. But, you know, sometimes if you put it in their face too much, they're just going to start shutting you out. And you have to create, you know, allow there to be a balance. And I can tell when people... you know, are starting to shut my posts out, and it's time for a little bit of a break, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and
to be honest...
I get really excessive sometimes.
Well, it's like I said to you, you know, over, like, the dogs being shot by the police.
And
you know,
I don't even post about that on my personal page at all. I don't...
Do I say it again?
...about dogs being shot. I never post anything about dogs being shot by police on my personal page, even. Just advocacy stuff, just normal welfare... abuse, stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, the thing, like, when I started doing the shows about the dogs being shot by the police, I did two shows because we obviously had got people that wanted to air their views, and like you say, people that had not long ago lost their dogs or whatever. But then I wanted to move it to more positive, and I was saying, right, yes, we've got these dogs that have been shot. What can we actually do to make a change? And this is when people say, you know, and you can almost feel the people going, No, I don't want to do that positive move forward yet. I still haven't finished ranting about the fact of what they've done. Do you know what I mean? And it's hard. You've got to try and pull people forward into the next stage. I don't want to be sharing, like, it's okay people saying to me, oh, can you share this, and this? But no, because I've already gone through that part. I'm now onto the part of changing the way that people are thinking. I want to find what ways we can go about achieving
Now. There's something that you have to always keep in mind. You know, if someone is talking bad to you, yelling at you, you know, just ripping you apart, do you want to do them any favors? Do you want to be a part of that? Are you going to be responsive to that? You're not. You're going to turn the other way, especially if when you have a choice. You know, so one of the things that, you know, it's really, you know, every day I tell myself that I refuse to be selfish enough to allow my feelings to stand in the way of doing the right thing to accomplish justice, because this is the last thing that I get to do for my dog. This is the last thing I get to do for them. And there's no way in hell I'm going to be so selfish as to let my feelings stand in the way of that. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
How long ago is it, Kristen, since your dog obviously passed through this?
Tomorrow will be 10 months.
Can I just say to everybody, of all these people out there that think, I can't be asked to share today, I'm going to have a day off Facebook today. I'm not going to do this because I don't like to open that picture because it might offend me or it might upset me or whatever. Kristen is, and she's going to hate this, and I might even have to mute her because she's going to go mental with me for doing this. This woman is absolutely amazing. she starts in the morning, she works through, she's got obviously got her own life to lead as well. She's always helping everybody, including me, and nothing is too much trouble, and she's doing so much to move so many mountains. So it just makes me so thing when I hear that she says to me that 10 months ago, it was your just one dog, wasn't it?
Two
dogs that got shot by police, and she took it upon herself 10 months ago to literally, and she says to me that she did have a month that she didn't do anything, she just read and she just stayed in her bed, she didn't want to come out. And then she said, right, now it's time to change. And she has worked her, and I don't care, backside off for this. She's here to make changes, and that's what I'm here for. I don't want to keep sharing all these posts every single day about these dogs that are being mistreated. I want to stop and say, right, what is it that we need to be achieving to stop this from happening? And I have put my thought forward of this, but I have decided, and Kristen's a bit like me sometimes, if you can't get help to do it, you do it yourself. You don't have to thank anybody, you just do it yourself. And if you fall, you fall, you wipe yourself down and you pick yourself back up again.
Yeah,
but I'm not willing to sit here. I want to literally do something positive, Kristen, and you're exactly the same. And you amaze me every single time I speak to you. You know, I know that you have your bad days, but you never put it out there that it's a bad day. You always think, right, so what can I do today because it's a bad day? You amaze me. You're just like a breath of fresh air. And I wish there was more people that could literally, instead of thinking about how bad things are sometimes, just say, let's stop. Let's see what we can actually do to make a difference. And I know even Cindy Boylan was even said about you as well, because you'd helped her so much in her hour of need, if you like, when she didn't know where to start off. And you spoke to her, and you even helped her to start the ball rolling for what she wanted to do. Yeah?
Who did you say?
Cindy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you just make such a difference.
That's where, like, I spend probably the strongest, is where most of the people that I talk to say, I am so glad, you know, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have gotten in touch with this person and gotten this, you know what I mean? And it's like, I feel more like the little hub for, you know, connecting the right people with the right people.
Exactly. But the thing is, me and you are alike, because it's not that we're keeping anything to ourselves. Every time I find a good group, I always share it into my page or my group or whatever and tell people about it. And this is where people can't get it isn't about us. It isn't about how many numbers we can get on our page or anything like that. It's about how many dogs and cats and how many laws we can actually change and make a difference. And it's good, because, look, even with the police, we're actually starting to get the ball rolling slowly but surely to actually get training put in place.
Yep.
No, that's a fantastic achievement. Mm-hmm. And that would never have happened unless we all work as a team to be able to get the awareness out there, what were the shows and the things that you're doing and the people that you've put in touch with each other. All of that is one big network that is fantastic. And all of that would never have been achieved if all of us hadn't introduced each other to each other.
I know, when I first came onto Facebook, I couldn't, like, I just felt so alone, you know, so alone, and I couldn't help it, you know. I just started messaging people, like, can I talk to you, can you call me, please, you know, like, I need to talk to someone, and I was surprised that people weren't already, you know, connected, and that's when I started the group for just the owners, you know, a place where it's okay to say whatever you need to get off your chest for the day and no one else needs to hear it or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. But the thing is, it's not just that. You know what it's like to literally have those first few days, those first few weeks of having to deal with it all. And when somebody new comes on, you sort of know where they're at, even though everybody's different on how they go through it, but you sort of get you would get an idea of what they're going through, that they get ups and down days. I mean, when I was talking to Cindy, I said to her, you know, you can ring me at 7 o'clock in the morning your time. And she went, no, I can't do that. I went, yeah, but it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon for me. So ring. It's no trouble. Do you know what I mean? Just ring me and say, Sue, I need a shoulder. I need a rant. I need to just get it off my chest so I can carry on with my day. Or, do you know what I mean? And that's what it is about networking. It's about helping each other in our hours of need, but also working as a team to get out these stories that we need to get out there so much.
Yep.
So, and it's like me and you have spoken so many times about, you know, Facebook, about, you know, getting a big thing together. I mean, how far are you off getting this big group together then, Kristen?
Not too far off. Actually, we're getting really close. The rest of it will be coming up with the rest of the money for the marketing firm, you know, because it's really important that when we do go public that off the bat, we make a really strong, good impression. You know, the people want to immediately, especially, you know, anyone who is against animal welfare advocates, whatever, you know, the first thing they're going to do is try to do everything to punch holes in you. You know, they are going to try to make you look like crazy animal people. And it is really important that we come out strong as we possibly can. As soon as we finish getting the money together for the marketing firm, we're good.
And can I just say to everybody as well?
People, you know, really keep wanting to just jump out there, and it's like, no. Image is so important. Unfortunately, that's just the world we live in, and that image has got to be handled by a professional, you know. Unless you are working in a marketing firm and you know what you're doing, we really need to leave it to professionals because, you know, if we want people to take us seriously, if we want to get the endorsements that we need to actually make a stance and make a strong move forward, we've got to be a little bit patient. If we have to be patient, we have to be patient. But we've got to make sure that we do it right, you know, and that's important.
Yeah. I just want to say, Kristen, that I'm looking in the chat room and Rat Heebie-Jeebie, she knows that I love her very much. She's absolutely fantastic. An excellent cross poster, and then even inboxes me when she's got a bit of a problem with Facebook.
I don't think I know
Facebook.
Daniela, which is weird. I thought
you're
I knew
sorry?
Everyone by now. I don't think that I know Rat Heebie-Jeebie or
do you know what?
Daniela.
It's so funny. The first time that I saw Rat Heebie-Jeebie in the chat room, I just had to say her name all the time because I just loved it.
I know.
Right? But an excellent cross poster, and even gets in touch with me when she's literally having a bad day with Facebook. She'll say, Sue, can you do me a favor? Can you just share this find the groups for me because I'm really struggling, and we'll share it and stuff. So that's brilliant. And then obviously Daniela, I haven't known over long Daniela Dixon, but again, another amazing, she's always popping up everywhere and it does so many different things, absolute, another fantastic cross post and does so much. So this is what I mean, you know, if we can get good people like that all together in one place, just imagine what we could achieve.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people that say, I don't think we can achieve that. I'll tell you what, it's only when you say that are you stopping it from actually happening.
And I'm hoping that, you know, having everyone aware of, you know, having everyone group by location, I'm really hoping that it helps bring people together where they can make more of a movement in their areas, you know, rather than it just being, oh, I know a few people here, you know, but really there's like 200 people in your area, you know, but you guys just aren't connected yet, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Making sure that everyone is connected, yeah.
Definitely. Well, this is the thing. I mean, I'm in the UK, but I don't know loads of people in the UK that are animal advocates. But the funny part is I've got to know loads in America. Do you know what I mean? And some of them have ended up, including you, a bit like family, and we have our rants together and we sort things out. And I've met some amazing people, and I just think, just just there's some fantastic people out there who can as a team just achieve anything. And
well,
Danielle,
yeah, you know,
is
a lot of people, they just need to know what to do. You know, they just need to be given the job. Just say, this is what needs to be done now, and they'll do it. You know, but so many people are just, they just don't know what to do. And, you know, I don't know. I just have a feeling that once people know, once they have a checklist, that things will actually get done, you know.
Exactly.
Danielle, I do the same thing.
It's a bit like, you know what just came into my mind? It's a bit like when you have a school kids' party and you have a list and everybody first aims to get the crisps because they want to get some easy and nobody wants to make sandwiches. So it's a bit like that, you know, you just if you get a list, everybody knows what they're bringing, but you can arrange an absolute fantastic party because everybody knows what they're bringing and what they're doing.
Yep. And knowing, you know, a lot of times, I mean, awareness is definitely an important, you know, task, and it definitely has to get done. But on top of it, you know, knowing exactly what people in your area that you need to make your friends, like the people who have the power to sign off on something that's going to, you know, make something happen. And
Exactly.
Not everyone knows that, you know.
Yeah. Now, we've got another caller, area code 585. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Eddie Sue. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? You okay?
Yes, I'm okay. We've had a lot of snow up here. We got the eastern snowstorm that's hitting, but I'm okay.
Well, can I just say something, Eddie? I did speak to you before, and I said, we're not doing a show about shooting and all that tonight. We're doing things, but it's gone from one thing over to another, and we've just, it just kept round to it.
Hi, Eddie.
So please don't think that I did a show without you. It wasn't intentional.
Oh, no. I understand. Everybody's busy trying to fulfill their commitment to the causes.
Oh, it's just crazy. There's that many that I'm trying to keep up with, and it's just I end up having to do two things in one show just to try and keep up with everything.
Right.
So,
right,
Eddie,
right.
Any updates at all?
Well, the updates, I did put up an email on the K9 Partners page. I think I put up the last update on the shares. And my concern was how comprehensive the training was going to be. Actually, the email that went out with the little diagrams on the body dog language, that was only an announcement to all the police officers, and that's 1,200 police officers that got that, and the officers in the area. So that was like an announcement of what's to come, so they know something is in the making. But they're still working on the in-service training that's it's going to be, you know, very comprehensive, because obviously this is something that has to be addressed, and you know they're doing it with careful review because it's new. It's something they had overlooked in the past, you know. But this is something that it takes the officers, but the community as well. And I think I'm going to be stepping on some people's toes, because if you want training for officers, okay. Fort Worth, Texas has got it going. We have it going. But then dog owners as well have to get training, obedience training for their dogs.
Absolutely.
As well. This is a two-way street. See,
yep.
Now when
yes.
you combine both, you combine training for officers, and you got people getting obedience training for their puppies and then adults, you know, and anything that might develop as an issue, and you get it addressed.
Yep.
So we're getting trainers. We have some trainers on board. We encourage force-free training because we don't want to cause issues, behavioral issues with dogs that had them, or you don't want to develop new issues with dogs that didn't have them. You see,
because some people and everyone has to view it as a community issue. You know,
right?
You can't
just
put everything on the top. Yep.
Yes, it is a community issue. Sometimes people get lax with this. Today I saw an owner. He took his dog out, and the dog was off the leash, running around. I mean, heavy traffic and everything. What if the dog just happens to run into the traffic?
Sure.
You see? So these are things, and needless to say, he doesn't know he can get fined. And why would you want your dog taken away? Because you don't have a city tag on him. You don't have a rabies tag on him. You know, they're going to confiscate the dog. So now you're going to run into...
I really wish with those fines they would add a requirement for, you know, like some sort of class, you know, on responsible pet ownership or something like that, you know. Rather than just paying $50, actually have them take a course, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's that you know, I was thinking about that before, you know, even, you know, when you register your dog and everything. I know there is one country that does that, and it's you know, where dog owners, they do take a class. You know, you think you might not need it, but yes, you do, because especially if it's the first time that you have a puppy, you know. These are things, because I had to learn so much when I got my dog, and I started reading. But, you know, most of it was common sense. That's, I mean, common sense will take you through life, you know. And that's all it is sound judgment. That's what the word implies, sound judgment. And I knew that after I waited till 4 months, and I knew I had to get him licensed, so I got him licensed. He needed his rabies shots. He needed all his vaccinations, so I got him on a wellness plan so he could get all those shots and everything. So, you know, as you go, you learn. And then when I used to look at a bag of dog food, listen, I didn't know. To me, it was a different language to me. I didn't understand anything. As now, I pick a bag up and, oh, nope, no good. And these are issues that people have with their pets. And when you get it's hard to tell when a dog is in pain. So if he's consumed some food and he's got a stomach pain, discomfort, you know, then he might not be a friendly dog at the moment, you see. So we even addressed that with the sheriff. And the sheriff was the one that brought it up. I was shocked. For him not being in tune, he mentioned nutrition. And I said, so, you know, he opened it up, and I went into the discussion about, you know, a proper nutrition. And, of course, you know, avoiding the toxin treats that are out there, you see. But, you know, image, like Kristen was saying, image is very important with the group, because we're validated, Canine Partners, because of the transparency. And when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. It gets done. Whether it's addressing the tainted treats with the supermarket, local supermarkets or what have you, and I gotten results. As a matter of fact, I had consumer affairs from the supermarket chain up here send me she sent me some coupons for the product I was highlighting that was excellent. And so these are the things that we need to bring change. If you know an individual or group, and by the way, when I say Canine Pride, I initiated the group, but when I do something that's effective, it's not Eddie. It's my supporters.
Yeah.
My supporters are doing this. It's not Eddie, you see, because they support me in the cause. Yes, and that's what people have to realize. We join together, whoever is behind us, and we wanted to bring the attention how to address the law enforcement so they can have the tools for their officers. And the next, I was ready, letting it get unraveled to take it to the senators on a state level to get it across the state, because when you have a model to go by, of course, it's easier for them to follow suit and say, yeah, well, it's working in Rochester, New York. It's working in Fort Worth, Texas. You see? So you have something that you can show and show some validation to what you're trying to do. What are you talking about? We're talking about having training for officers so they're better equipped. So when they go out and they have these contacts with other dogs, they know what to do.
I also found it's a program through the CDC, and it's called Communities for Public Health. But that includes safety. So that's in all, they have tons of stuff in there about dogs and you know, proper pet ownership and all of that stuff. But these are actual groups that we can set up in our areas that are actually like connected to as a like they're a part of the CDC. The CDC programs set up for citizens and communities who have a common goal and a common initiative. And I just emailed the manager today for more information. So I'm interested to see what she says and see what kind of how the whole process works. But it's really interesting because it's everything that we are already doing in our areas. You know what I mean? But to have an actual, you know, to be a part of the CDC too would be really really neat. It's called COPS, Communities of Practice.
Excellent. Do you know what, though, how many incidents have we had in the last, well, couple of weeks or so? Because I must admit I've not heard as many in the last couple of weeks. You know, like, we seem to have a spell when it was like one after another. But at the moment...
Well, on average, I enter over 100 dog shots I police a month.
100
a
month.
In my database, I enter over 100 a month.
Good grief.
And I just don't post them all because, you know, it just gets so depressing, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Kristen, can I ask you, are most of those in bigger cities versus smaller communities, you know, is it mostly in larger cities?
Sure. You know, Texas is definitely a huge issue, but it's also the largest state. Florida is also a big problem. California, they'll start to lag behind, and then they'll catch up, then they'll lag behind, then they'll catch up. After that, everything starts to average out. Let me see what my average numbers come out to be by state.
And this is what I mean, everybody. Kristen has got every single answer.
A lot of states only have like 3 a month, but then others have, you know, over 30. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and some don't have any, and that's what's bizarre to me is all of the ones that don't have any are all in the First Circuit Court jurisdiction. That's Rhode Island, Maine, New Jersey. Hold on before I say this wrong. In New Hampshire, I believe. Let me see. But I think it's really bizarre that they all happen to be. It's Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Maryland. I just think it's really bizarre that they're in that. That's what they all have in common is that they're in the First Circuit Court jurisdiction. And I'm really curious as to, you know, if maybe they have some different court rulings or. But it's definitely worth investigating because so far no one has any theories about why that is.
I'm thinking to myself, let's face it, everybody likes rewards of some sort. Is it worth putting some sort of reward system in for or even sending certificates out to certain police forces to say, well done, you haven't had an incident of blah, 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 that's fantastic. What, you know, and then ask them for some information back on what they've done to be able to achieve that.
Well, I know me and Eddie were talking about getting a plaque for the chief of police, you know, in Fort Worth, Texas. And I emailed Cindy about it, and she said that she really liked the idea. But, yeah, some sort of certificate program would be great. Because I really think, you know, sometimes, I don't know, I think it's, you know, positive reinforcement is more effective than negative.
Exactly. Yep. Definitely. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? If we actually said to them, you know, well done, this is what we're trying to achieve in other states, you know, we want to recognize that you haven't had any incidents. And why is that? Have you actually already had training? It might be that they say, actually, we give ours 8 hours of training every single time, every year or something. Or, you know what I mean? Or there might be a reason why.
Well, you know what? Honestly, overall, police officers are very undertrained. If you read review boards, like the reports on police officer training, I mean, all of them just say how much the training lacks and how much more training and better training needs to be provided, you know. And for such an important job, I think that, you know, communities and the public really just needs to speak up and say, yeah, I mean, if you're going to put their lives at risk, you expect them to yep. put their lives at risk, give them the training that they need for every scenario, because bottom line, they are the only responders that are always the first responders to every situation.
Exactly.
They are always. You know, and they're not superhuman, you know. I mean, they don't have some built-in guidebook that tells them how to handle every single scenario. I mean, they have to just do their best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're human, you know.
I agree. And this is the thing, and obviously the police are getting a lot of negativeness at the minute, which, you know, and it's like we've all three of us have said, we need to be starting to chuck positivity out there, because all of us have done jobs that, you know, sometimes we find a struggle because of whatever reason, and the police must be finding it a very big struggle, like you said, if they're not getting trained properly to
exactly.
what they're supposed
they
to be doing.
They are their training. So who's responsible for the training? Those are the people that need to be addressed. The police don't get to choose what training they get. You know, if it were up to them, I'm sure they would want as much training as possible for these, you know, unknown events that could occur, you know, or unforeseen events. So, I mean, they're not the ones, you know, they're not the ones that need to be addressed. The police officers
yeah.
do not choose their training.
See, What I find out funny at the moment, and just to remind everybody, I am in the UK and you guys are all in the US, but what I find funny from sitting on the outside is President Obama is saying that he needs to take guns off our streets because there's so much crime and everything, and we're actually sat here discussing saying our police need to be more trained to deal with all of these different things. Well, surely their first port of call must be to train our police to deal with these situations. Because, for instance, even at that Connecticut school and all these other different things, if they're not getting trained well enough to deal with all these different things, then we've got a very big issue on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, even more so for them.
And I just use this as an example because it's the easiest one to explain, but when they go to, you know, their continuing education classes and stuff throughout the year, you know, they go to a firing range, and they shoot at a piece of paper. Well, that does not at all simulate shooting at a moving target, and people wonder why, you know, they see these reports where they shot 6 times but only hit once. Well, they don't get training on moving targets, you know.
Yeah.
And these are just, you know, things that people don't think about. But, you know, there's a big difference. And it's very important that, you know, if they don't feel like they can protect themselves properly because they're not trained well enough, I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, we have to remember that, you know, we have to try to imagine as best as we can what it would be like to be in their shoes.
Yeah. Well,
We want the same from them, right? So
yep.
we have to do our best.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is what I've said about the shows, is that we need to bring the positivity out because, of course, you know, I've got the show next week and I've got a 4-hour show. 2-hour show to start off with is going to be about police shooting innocent people. Now, if you imagine we're going back to the beginning of this for that, because obviously we've not done like this before, but I was told by somebody that there was 800 shootings in 2012. Now, I just find that terrific.
I think that's correct, actually. I think I just read that.
Sorry, say that again?
I think that's correct. I think that sounds like something I just read recently.
I don't know. I spoke to somebody about a week, I think, ago, or something like that. I can't remember. But, you know, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do 2 hours about the people shoot, and then I'm going to be doing, straight after it, a two-hour show about how we want to be able to bring the positive changes and obviously bring the pair of you, if you're free that day, to be able to bring like, the more information about where we're at, what else we need to do, and what else people can help us to get it further out there, because we do need to start pushing it even further. And also, I'd love to be able to get a couple of police officers on to actually discuss how they feel about all this. Because, you know,
David
these
Klinger.
Are the ones that are going
to
have to do this
David
extra
Klinger.
Training. Sorry.
We need to call David Klinger and see if we can get him on the show. He
I didn't
is,
hear that.
David Klinger. We need to
right.
call David Klinger and see if you can get him on the show. He he's a retired law enforcement officer, and he is an expert now in use of force, especially lethal force and policing. He does a lot of reforming of police stations, and he also specializes in terrorism. He also sits on a board with the DOJ. He just does it all. He's like the man when it comes to this stuff. And he's, you know, he also is an animal lover. When I walked into his office, there were dog toys on the floor, and he said, oh, yeah, I see Rottweilers that can work with me sometimes. And so, yeah.
Excellent.
But, you know, 4 months out of, 4 months out of the academy, he killed someone in the line of duty. And he wrote a book about it. And that's actually why he retired. You know, he had a really hard time dealing with it. And then he's done a lot of studies on how police officers deal with it, what the effects are, and things of that nature. So he would definitely be a good source for that.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I can give you tons of information. I mean, like...
Well, it's okay. You've got a week...
I can connect people.
You've got a week to be able to promote it, so we can all promote it this week, and then obviously it'll be a good show for next week. So, Eddie, thank you very much for calling in, love, because I know you're working today as well, aren't you?
Oh, no, I'm not working today. I'm off. Today's my day off.
Oh, it's your day off today. Oh, right. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much for calling in, Eddie, and obviously we will have you on the show again next week. Thank you very much for calling in. And, Kristen, thank you, love, as well, for calling in.
You're welcome.
You're
and
welcome.
I will speak, I will
to,
speak
you
to you after the show as well. Okay,
you.
Then. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much, both
bye.
Of you. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. And what another absolute fantastic show with two absolute amazing people. I want to thank Kristen and Eddie because they are working so, so hard to literally make changes. So thank you very much to both of them for calling into the show tonight. If you've got a cause that you would like to bring forward to the Ask Sue Show, please give us an email at asksueshow@gmail.com. That's asksueshow@gmail.com. And also go on to Facebook to the Ask Sue Radio Show Network page, which we've got all of the information on there as well. So thank you very much to everybody for listening into the show, and I will speak to you all very, very soon. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Who let the dogs out?
Was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey, yeah,
and everybody having a ball.
Hey,
hey, until the fellas started name calling.
It's the
and the girls respond to the call.
Hey,
I have a full
Who let the
CIO get angry.
Hey, yeah, CIO.
Where the girls calling them canine?
Hey, CIO.
But they tell me, hey man, start up the party.
Hey, CIO.
You put a woman in front and a man behind. I heard a woman shout out,
who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Say, a doggy is nothing if he don't have a bone.
A doggy hold your bone. A doggy hold it.
A doggy is nothing if he don't have.